It's time for the one show that takes you where others won't. Out into the wilderness, past the frontiers of what you thought was possible. With your own personal guide, the pilgrim on the 405, Mr. Will Crist. Take it away, Will.
Hey, well, welcome to Pilgrim Talks with the Pilgrim on the 405. This bright, bright, sunny day here in Laguna Beach. We've had a lot of cold days. My wife was telling me this morning that most of our plants have died for lack of sunshine. I don't know what this is. This is not June gloom. We're coming toward the end of July. Anyway, it's a bright, sunshiny day today. You know, you look around on the internet, and there's lots of ways to generate leads, lots of ways to get to know people, lots of ways to aggregate groups, lots of ways to get messages out and get messages back. And as you do that, then we begin to layer on top of that ways of dealing with all of that data. And I've talked to a number of different people in the past couple of weeks. There's a group called Relicom that is right in the midst of getting their product ready to bring to market over in a local accelerator, incubator, at Santa Ana College. They're doing a lot of work and pulling pieces together. Likewise, we're going to be talking today to the chief revenue officer of Social 123, which is another way of dealing with a lot of data that otherwise we wouldn't have access to. So I want to welcome Scott Miller, chief sales officer, chief revenue officer at Social 123 in Atlanta, Georgia. Welcome, Scott.
Hey, Will. How are you doing?
Wonderful. Wonderful. Tell us a little bit about Social 123 and why that's important, necessary, valuable.
We'll do so. And again, I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you and speak to your audience. Certainly, it is a pleasure. Social 123 is a company that helps our customers monetize social media by delivering social leads and data enhancement services. So we partner with the big three in social media, which is Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook, and they represent over a billion subscribers and 200 million social interactions a day. And with those partnerships, what we're able to do is to bring back information on contacts and bring back information on content mentions and make that information actionable for sales and marketing teams.
Well, that sounds like a lot of words. Tell me what that means for the small business person.
Well, in essence, what we're able to do is take all the information that Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter provide on the contacts that are out there and really prioritize it for the small and mid-sized businesses so that they have information that they can go to market with, and so they understand their customers better, they understand their prospects better, and so that they can understand their community better as well, so they can go out and solicit those individuals and make an outreach and close a deal, make a sale.
All right. So that means, like, if I've got, let's see, I go up to Twitter and I can see that I have, like, 687 people following me. Mm-hmm. Now, I have no idea who they – I mean, you know, I know what their Twitter handle is, but I have no idea who they are, what they're from, what they're doing, anything like that. Will Social 123 help me with that?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have four different products, and one of the products that you're mentioning about is called a Follower Plus, or a Social Follower Plus product. And what this product allows our customers to do is to input their Twitter handle, and what they'll get back is all the social, the demographic, the contact, and the geographic information of their entire followers, the list of their entire followers. And we ask Twitter for this information, and we have a relationship with them, and they'll bring that back to us. And we'll also append an email address through our proprietary software to these followers. So while you may have one method of communication, for example, with your Twitter followers by, you know, retweeting and posting tweets on Twitter, this gives you a much better avenue to communicate directly with those individuals over and above using the Twitter social media and direct message, so to speak.
All right, so I can take my 423 followers here, mm-hmm, on one of my Twitter accounts. Mm-hmm. I can see their name. What's the date that's underneath it? Is that the date that it was accessed by me?
Yeah, usually I think that's the date that they started following you. So you're looking at your handle. Uh-huh. You're looking at your Twitter handle right now in Twitter. So underneath that, you can see the date they began either put a post up or they began following you, correct?
Okay. And then I see after that, it tells me what the description that they've put in, right?
Right.
And then I see their location.
That's exactly right.
And then in many of them, I'm looking at email addresses.
Well, if you take a look at, for Twitter as example, that's pretty powerful information. And
yeah.
One of the things that makes Twitter unique is that real estate that's underneath the individual's Twitter handle's name, for instance, their self-description. There's 160 characters that Twitter will allow you to describe yourself, and that's information that you are going to, you know, spend a lot of time thinking about describing your small business. And as a small business owner, mid-sized business owner, entrepreneur, sole proprietorship, that's information that you only you don't have 160 characters to describe yourself. So we take advantage of that prime real estate by giving access to not only your self-description, but the self-description of all of your followers. And so then you can do keyword searching. For instance, if you're looking for an individual that is in the local San Diego area, we can search by using that descriptor. If you're looking for somebody that is perhaps in sales consulting or in business development, you know, we can allow you to search your entire followership to see what individuals describe themselves that way. That's another way, really, to get some actionable intelligence out of your social media followers.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's really pretty powerful. I mean, otherwise, without something like Social 123, I wouldn't have access to that, right?
Well, that's exactly right. And one of the things that we do is we bring back publicly available information. For instance, you saw that you have all of that information I mentioned available to you. However, the power of Social 123 is we bring all that information to you in aggregate, and then we do an append to provide an email address. So while you might be able to pull this information over one at a time or look at it as you're doing now manually, that is helpful. But what's even more helpful, if you could see it in the aggregate. Now, let's use your Twitter handle. Let's take example if you want to use another Twitter handle to look at that information, for instance, the San Diego Chamber of Commerce. If you want to use another Twitter handle on top of that, say it's San Diego Zoo, now you're starting to build a database where you can still do the same business analytics with the location, the same business analytics with the keyword searching inside of the self-description, and, of course, there's the email address, too, where you can proactively reach out to these individuals and solicit them to your services.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right. So under the social followers plus module, I can see who's following me, what their description is, where they are, and their email address.
That's correct. And we provide the information that the individual provides about themselves. So if they choose to volunteer this information, then we ask Twitter, and Twitter will give it to us, and we'll give it to our customers. That's exactly right. Now, the email address, of course, is not publicly available from Twitter, and that's a proprietary piece of software that we have for Social 123 to have another point of contact for these Twitter records.
All right. So what's another module that you have on Social 123?
Well, we have four. We mentioned the Follower Plus piece. I think a module that your listeners would be excited about is called a social data piece. And this is where we can take a pre-existing database, for instance, inside of your CRM, if you use Salesforce, or if you just have your information in ACT, or if you have information just in Outlook or Gmail or whatnot, extract that information and upload it into Social 123. And within a couple of hours, we will give you what we call a social data append to that information. And what that means is that we will bring back all the information about their social, geographic, contact, demographic information, again, from Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter, and add those fields directly to the list that you give us. So if you start off with, say, four or five fields that most individuals will have inside of an Outlook database, or now, even 10 fields that might be inside of a Salesforce.com database, we can add anywhere from 25 to 80 fields of specific information relative to that individual content. Now, that's helpful for a myriad of different reasons, but, you know, most small business owners and sales and marketers that I talk to want more information about their customers and clients so they can be even more impactful in their business. If I understand them better, I can serve them better.
Okay. So this is information that comes from sources like LinkedIn?
LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter. Again, this is all publicly available information, but what we provide is the utility to bring it all back to you in aggregate and match it up to your contact. So,
yeah,
for instance,
if
you
don't... Yeah, I find that so interesting that this whole additional level of information, which is coming from aggregators, is coming to the fore now.
Well, it's what the market is asking for. I'm sure you've heard of the term the social CRM, and that's in essence what we call socially enabling a CRM. You know, most individuals keep their contact and customer information in a central repository, at CRM system, Salesforce automation tool, what have you. But to go out and append that information manually with what is inside of LinkedIn, or find out what they're doing inside of Facebook, where they went to school, you know, where they're currently located, where they have worked, what their alma mater was, all these things would be very tedious if it were manual. Yet it's very impactful because sales and marketing individuals do it every single day, and so we just bring the power of that aggregation, you know, through our solution.
Okay, so that's really interesting how we do that. All right, so what else now? We got social, what did we start? Social followers, right?
Social follower, that's right.
All the people following me.
That's right. We have a social follower, which creates leads and contacts out of Twitter. We have social data, which takes a pre-existing database and adds roughly 25 fields of social, of contact, social, demographic, and geographic information from social media. We also have what is called a social leads piece, which really is impactful if you have a solution or your company is when your industry is often spoke of inside of social media. So what we provide our customers are 50 different options to input a keyword, and we'll monitor social media for those keywords and bring back the contact information of the individual that mentioned that. And that can be a company, that can be their company, their competitor, their industry, their association, thought leaders, and the like.
Okay. And then what you'll do is track that information.
That's exactly right. We'll track that information. And one of the attributes that really makes our solution unique is that we have what is called a social point score, because you can imagine if you put something, you know, as general of a topic as, for instance, sales consulting or social media in my business, that there are going to be just a myriad of different individuals that are speaking about those topics. Mm-hmm. So what we provide is a social points schema or an algorithm, if you will, somewhat similar to a clout score, if you're familiar with what clout is doing, except it's user-defined. So we will allow our customers to create a methodology to rank the individuals that we bring back with these social leads, also with the social data that I mentioned before. And that's based on the social actions, the social attributes, and the keyword mentioned of these contacts. So when we bring back, you know, more than what really could be considered a consumable amount of data, we can just stack rank that by their social point score. So now your salesperson or your marketer will feel comfortable that, you know, the individuals with a higher social point score, or they should prioritize their time working with those individuals first.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So now what we're doing is we're going out there and really getting into the social media. That'd be Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook. We're getting to that stream of data,
right?
And using some sort of sieve or what would you call it? A filter, right?
Right.
Give me some suggestions for social keywords for, you know, since I'm a Sandler trainer, what would be some social keywords?
Well, if you're doing business development, which, you know, we are all in sales, especially those that are sales trainers, right? You know, the first thing you want to look for is Sandler. You know, the second thing you probably want to look for are individuals that you would, associations that are associated with SAMLR, such as the Strategic Account Management Association, so SAMA. You want to put that in there as well.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps a competitor, if you would say that that SAMLR has a competitor, right? You'd want to put that name as a keyword that you'd want to follow. So those are inside the industry. But you also, you want to take a look at who your buyer is, right? If it's really the VP of sales or if it's a small or mid-sized business owner, let's take example of the VP of sales, or what other companies would that VP of sales be looking for, right? So you can put down VP of sales. You can put down Salesforce.com as example. Mm-hmm. You can put down things that are associated with the pains that VPs of sales would have, you know, such as unattained quota or high seller attrition or inside sales manager. Now, these are some, it's sort of the deductive thought process that you can imagine, the same process that a small and mid-sized business owner would do to come up with a Google AdWord, right? I mean, we sit here and we rack our brains about, you know, which words do I want to spend bid out per click. It's really the same kind of process that we have with the idea of social leads. I mean, we spend all this money to get a line of sight into the world that Google and Bing bring to us, and Yahoo in some instances, but we don't have any line of sight to what's being said inside of social media. And this is really what we allow. We turn the light on, so to speak, or we alleviate the blind spot that, you know, PPC has. And that's by using some of those exact same Google AdWords that you would, as a small and mid-sized business owner, that you pay a significant amount of money for, use the same thing that we have over at Social 123 for our Social Leads Plus piece, and get the same, not the exact same response, but understand exactly what's going on the social side of the web as well.
So if I could take, I use HubSpot. So if I go to HubSpot and take a look at my keywords there, could I use those same keywords? Does that make sense?
I would, absolutely. I mean, think about what we're trying to do, what we're trying to achieve. And if it's worth a pay-per-click, then it's obviously worth us monitoring on social media. I mean, it's the same process. The same thought process goes into creating keywords to monitor for social leads as it would be to try to get someone to click on your link on Google.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right. And so how long does it take? I'm putting some words in here right now. So how long would it take for somebody, once you've got the keywords in, to start tracking those information flows?
Well, we are going to start looking immediately. And so we can start looking from the last 3 hours to the last 3 months. And then you can set the solution up as well to give you a daily or weekly update. So we start, it starts looking immediately. But the longer the search, the longer it's going to take for us to go back to the archives.
And now, what? Tell me about the points. What are we using with points?
Well, the idea behind social points is that, you know, we understand that social media truly is an ocean of data. I mean, quite literally, you know, Twitter has 177 million tweets a day. There's over 1 billion subscribers to social media that do over 1 billion social interactions a day. And that's just too much information, really, for anybody to try to comprehend. So what we do is we allow our customers to set up what is called a social point score, and that's based on really three criteria. One is their social actions, meaning that if they have done, if this potential contact has done anything, what we would consider to be proactive with any one of our brands. For instance, they have liked us on Facebook, they have followed us on Twitter, or they have connected with us on LinkedIn, as example, we can assign a point score to that. And that's pretty powerful, right? If someone retweets what you're doing, you know, it's nice to know that, right? And we'll give you that information as well. But you'd also want to know if that individual is inside of your database, and if so, let's hike up their relativity to us by hiking up their social point score. So that's the idea of the first part, which is called a social action. The next part is called a social attribute, which really takes the concept of how socially popular are you? In essence, if you have over 100 followers on Twitter, over 1,000, or in some cases 10,000, or in some cases 100,000, I want to assign a point score to that. The same would be in terms of how many friends you have on Facebook and how many connections that you have on LinkedIn. If you have over 1,000, I'll assign a certain point score. If you have below 1,000, I can assign a different point score. By this number, then we get an understanding of exactly who is socially active and of those individuals that we want to solicit. Do we want to assign or allocate a point value to these social attributes? And that's pretty akin to social influence scoring that's becoming more and more popular in our world. And then lastly, it's the keyword mentions, right? So somebody that says Sandler to you is going to be much more important than someone says just generally sales effectiveness, right? Mm-hmm. So you can assign a higher point score to someone that says Sandler than someone has a lower point score that has sales effectiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And so this really gives the glimpse into social media. So when you are scoring, I suppose, social media contacts, because as you start to receive this information, at least for instance, on social leads, if you start to receive this information, the last 3 months, I mean, there could be hundreds, if not thousands, if not tens of thousands of individuals that have mentioned these. And so this is a way that you can prioritize that over and above geography, over and above keyword mentions that we said before. And you can do the same thing for your own internal database. So if we score these individuals for your own for instance, inside of HubSpot, if you have Salesforce.com, you can quickly prioritize your efforts in that way as well. And that's a concept that a lot of sales and marketers are already used to with lead scoring. This is just a social aspect of it.
So that was, that's three, right?
That's three. And that's really the when you go to our website and you see our solutions, the Social Followers Plus piece, the Social Leads Plus, and the Social Data Plus, that's really around the lead management and the data enhancement. Right, those are the top three lead management and data enhancement services that we have.
Okay.
And then we have a more traditional social media management tool, which is more of a social publisher piece. And this really acts as a central repository for social updates, blog posts, and whatnot. And you can schedule posts out to your different social media outlets, your blogs, your LinkedIn groups, for example. You can push all that out at once. You can create a schedule. You can create an approval process. You can give multiple authority rights to different utilities and different networks, for example. And that's very traditional. You said you mentioned HubSpot. You probably are familiar with a traditional social media management tool.
When we talk about like Hootsuite or something?
The some of the features we have are similar to Hootsuite exactly. It's a central repository for all of your social posts and updates, and then publishing that out on a scheduled basis. We do have a couple of things that make our solution unique in the fact that we do allow our customers to post directly to LinkedIn groups. Well, have you found any? Do you work often in LinkedIn groups?
Not as much as I should.
Right. LinkedIn groups are pretty popular, and especially the topics that are brought up inside of LinkedIn groups. And so if you can begin those conversations, or if you can facilitate and participate in those conversations, you're going to raise your profile and you're going to reap the rewards of being active in LinkedIn groups. So we certainly understand that, and we give our customers the power to do that. And then there's also the direct message responder. So I'm sure if you ever followed somebody on Twitter, you see instantly you get a direct message from them saying, thank you for following me on Twitter. All right. If you like my tweets and my retweets, then you might like what I have here on this website or this blog, some more thought leadership.
Good. All right. So this is a pretty powerful thing. Who is your target for this? Who would find this most helpful?
I look at our client base to answer that question, and we really have two, ideal clients or ideal customers, and And one is an individual that is, I would say a small or mid-sized business owner, or certainly someone that's responsible for business development in the small or mid-sized business. Mm-hmm. The second would be just your traditional, I believe, sales and marketing leader, sales and marketing administrator that's really looking to get their data cleansed, get their data enhanced, you know, find some alternative mechanisms for reaching out to their target market. But I say the small and mid-sized business owner because they'll take one example, the social follow-up plus piece. What we're able to provide is an immense amount of intelligence, an immense amount of contact data at a very, very reasonable price and a very, very reasonable amount of time. If you are especially doing some B2B, if you're especially doing something e-commerce, you're especially doing something global, we can follow that scalability, pretty tightly. And so when individuals talk to us saying that they have a product, they're ready to go to market, but they don't really know who they should be targeting, or they don't have enough people to target, or they don't know where to target, we can easily consult with them and start to, provide some pretty relevant and impactful contact data for them in a quick amount of time.
So how would somebody know? I mean, are there some metrics that would be helpful to you? Would be helpful that would point them to you? I mean, they have a certain number of followers before this becomes becomes significant.
Right.
Or they're I know there's one company that said the folks that are going to use us need to be spending about $1 million a year on advertising. Is there some metric that you can help people with?
Well, we don't necessarily need $1 million, although that would be nice. We'll certainly welcome anybody who wants to spend $1 million with us, I'm sure, right? The metric really is, I don't like to say the number of followers that you have, right? That's always the first, for using the Follow Plus as an example, right? That's always the first Twitter handle that you should try to go to. And the reason being is that these individuals have made the proactive expression of interest to follow you because you have said something relevant that they want to hear more about. Or you follow them and they just reciprocated, right? One of two, right? That might be the case. And so to break that information down and to reach out and to engage them on a different platform about your solution is always a good idea, right? But it's not necessary. I wouldn't say that that's a good place to stop, because if you find power in your own Twitter following, imagine how much power you can find in other Twitter followers. Mm-hmm. And so your own amount of followers, I wouldn't limit our ideal customer to the number of Twitter followers. I think the companies, I suppose, that do the best with us, the metric really is right now, especially in that Follower Plus piece, is that they're B2B in nature. They are perhaps small. They market to small and mid-sized businesses. There's an e-commerce. Not necessarily doesn't have to be e-commerce, but having some sort of e-commerce aspect to them, meaning that in any type of global coverage, so that they can take full advantage of the 1 billion subscribers and all the information we can bring back. That's a really good place to start. I think using the Data Plus piece, anybody that really has ran through their list, anybody that thinks they've exhausted, the contacts that they have had, they're tired of looking at the same data from even if you turn your laptop upside down, it looks the same. Give us that data, and we will spice it up for you. We will give you different angles and different things to say to the same people. And that really is, not necessarily contingent on, your size. It's just the individuals that you're trying to solicit. And then I would think for the data piece, for the leads piece, that's pretty ubiquitous. Anybody that wants to monitor their brand, someone else's brand, their industry, their thought leaders, that's pretty ubiquitous in terms of the types of companies that we can help.
Okay. So here we are at the bottom of the hour. Can you stick around after the break here so we can talk a little bit more? I want to focus after the break. I want to focus on how you are taking Social 123 to the marketplace.
Yeah, I'd love to. Thank you.
Good. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Do you want a free analysis of your inbound marketing? Do you want it in 30 seconds or less? Then check out Marketing Grader, the free marketing tool from HubSpot. It's simple. Just go to marketinggrader.com, enter the URL that you want to analyze, and Marketing Grader will instantly give you a detailed report grading your lead generation, mobile marketing, social media, competitive benchmarking, and more. It's simple, it's powerful, and it's free. MarketingGrader.com.
I'm Al Strauss with Sandler Training. Talk to you about rule number 38. The problem the prospect brings you is never the real problem. When people have heard this rule and thought about it a bit, if they've been in sales for more than a few months, they almost always say, well, that's obvious. I've had lots and lots of prospects that told me what they wanted, I showed them what they wanted, and they didn't buy it. So it seems that it would be obvious. The problem is, most folks don't understand it, and you get in the middle of the conversation, and here's a prospect who's interested in something, you've got the something, and you just show up. And what you really need to learn how to do is ask a bunch more questions, because frankly, in most cases, the prospect doesn't even understand what the real problem is. And so if you ask three or four more questions about what they claim they need or are looking for or want, you're going to discover that it morphs, it changes, sometimes dramatically. What they end up needing is perhaps even diametrically opposed to what they originally said they were looking for. So ask the questions. Don't take the first thing they give you. Dive down into the real issues, and you're going to have yourself a much better day selling to this prospect.
And now back to Will and his guest.
So we've been talking to Scott Miller, Chief Revenue Officer of Social 123. That's a fascinating tool that he has to aggregate information and information flow, extract information from this huge social media, not river, but tsunami between Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook. So now, Scott, I want you to tell us how you... Now, you've had a lot of experience in sales management. You've been a sales trainer for a while, right?
I worked with a sales consulting company for 2.5 years as a principal. That's correct.
Okay. So how are you going to take Social 123 to market? What are the elements of helping to make this thing go?
Well, I mean, that question, you know, can be answered many different ways, but you know, what really, you know, the CEO, Aaron Bedard, and myself, you know, what we settled on is that we're going to use our stuff to sell our stuff. You know, even before we had any referenceable clients, we told ourselves that we would be our own best client, which, you know, stands to reason, right, now that we're having this conversation here, but it wasn't really that necessarily the case when we began, you know, and we opened the door, so to speak. So, you know, we use all four of our products, and, you know, that's where we spend our advertising dollars, honestly. You know, we reinvest that back into individuals. We invest that back into our own software so that, you know, we use social leads. I mean, we have our own, you know, 50 keywords that we're following, and when, you know, someone states something that we consider to be a sales trigger, right, we will we'll reach out to those individuals. You know, we have our own, you know, static data that we socially enabled, and we use that information to, reach out and solicit VPs of sales, VPs of marketing, and owners of small and mid-sized businesses, ad agencies, list brokers, SEO types, and the like. And we also use our Twitter Follower Plus. I mean, the first handle we did was our own handle. Then we used my Twitter handle. Then we used our CEO's Twitter handle. And then we started, looking at our competitors, and we started looking at the industry thought leaders, and we started, started building our own database by using the power of Twitter to reach out and try to, understand and find the right types of individuals that we think that we should solicit, and that's what we did. Mm-hmm. But we also used the publisher piece, so every update that you see from Social 123 comes directly from our publisher, and it's scheduled, and it's timed, and it's approved, and it's probably written about 3 or 4 weeks ago. So that's what we do from a go-to-market strategy. We employ three salespeople. We have a myriad of affiliates in various ways, shape, and form, in terms of how you define an affiliate and how they define their relationship with us, frankly. And that's honestly, that's our go-to-market strategy.
All right. So all of your sales then will be through the internet?
When you say all of our sales are through the internet, now we have our solution is through, it's a software as a service solution. So, technically speaking, everything we provide is through the internet. But we do have three salespeople that, will do negotiate a sale over and above just giving a credit card directly to the site.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I know that a great salesperson called me, Bo. Called me based upon some of the things they're picking up in Social 123, and that started the conversation, and I thought that was wonderful.
That's exactly right. I don't know the Twitter handle offhand that you were following, but that's how we reached out to you, and that's how Bo reached out to you directly. I mean, he is paid to use our stuff, right? And that's what he did to reach out to you and begin this conversation, and that's why we're talking today.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, I think it was an email that came and him telling me a little bit about what you do and asking if I had any interest in that. And,
right.
Given my poor discipline about saying no to technology offers, I immediately picked up the phone and called him. We had a great conversation. And so you do have a team of people who are talking to people ear to ear.
That's right. I'm the same as you are. Salespeople are always the easiest sales. They think we're the hardest. That's one of the reasons why I love selling to salespeople, right? Not only are we characters, but we're also easy to convince because we want to hear a good story, don't we?
Absolutely.
But that's exactly right. I mean, it's ear to ear. Bo Turner is one of our salespeople. He's been with the company the longest, since we're a relatively new company. That doesn't really, mean a lot, but, relatively speaking, he's been with us the longest, and we have two other sales folks, sales engineer, and it's all centered around, what we do. We went down, like I mentioned before, we went down the Google AdWords track, and spent a lot of money, with not a lot of result. We went down the SEO track to get our site as optimized as we could. We went down the LinkedIn ads, which worked a little better, quite frankly. For what we're doing than the Google AdWords. But we spent a lot of money before we realized on other people's stuff before we realized we should be spending money on our stuff. And ever since then, not only are, we validating our own concept, which is probably the most important thing we can do, but we're getting a better return and our salespeople understand our solution better. I mean, they can swim through its nuances inside and out. That's exactly what you want from an inside salesperson.
So you're drinking your own caviar.
Yes, that's it. We're drinking our own caviar via fire hose.
Right. Well, good. And yeah. Sales are doing what you want them to do?
Yeah, we're doing what we want to do. I mean, we have some venture capital that's supporting us on the back end, and so we have certain revenue commitments that we've committed to them. And, we are holding up our end of the bargain. And the reason why is because we're using our own stuff. And now, we have customers that will advocate on our behalf, and we don't have to do it on our own, right? We're not there. We started off as our only reference, and now we have other customers that will do that for us.
Well, that's excellent. That's excellent. Now, I'm wondering how you cut through the noise out there of all the various possibilities. How do you cut through the noise other than, like Bo sending me an email and me picking up the phone and calling?
Well, I mean, that's the age-old question, isn't it, you know, for demand creation. You know, how do you cut through the noise? You know, I'm a student of sales methodology, and in particular, you know, I have a particular fascination with demand creation. You know, so we certainly want to, you know, say something a little differently in our emails that everybody else, you know, is not saying. We want to say a little something differently on our phone calls than everyone else isn't saying. You know, we want to have an event-driven demand creation methodology, you know, which is certainly, you know, one of the things that we're, you know, we're striving for. You want to provide, you know, we want to provide a freemium, meaning that, you know, you can use our solution for free. I mean, that's a pretty good way to get above the noise, although a lot of, you know, companies in our space are doing the same thing, right? But it's a pretty good way to prove your wares before you even get a salesperson engaged, which is, you know, we found to be, you know, getting that proof of concept hurdle out of the way is shortens our sales cycles and makes our forecasting a little bit more accurate.
Mm-hmm.
And that's generally the case. I mean, you know, there's a lot of blocking and tackling. You know, to use a terrible analogy for, you know, sports analogy for sales, there's a lot of blocking and tackling, and you have to do a lot of it. You know, sometimes you just realize that you have to yell a little louder, but you have to understand there's a lot of noise, and if you're comfortable inside that environment, you know, we just keep on, you know, plugging away at the numbers, and we have a different story, we have a different way of attracting the individual, or I guess developing the relationships that we develop. You know, our solution, you know, we give away a good portion of our solution until, you know, individuals see value in it, and even then, it's reasonably priced. And I think if you give, you know, those are all the different value tenets that we try to have in our demand creation methodology.
By using your own software, you're building up a pretty good case for that then, right?
I think so. I mean, you know, it's a very interesting conversation when individuals, you know, you start to get to the point of the sale where they're making their decision. And, you know, a little bit of fear and risk comes in because, you know, they might not have heard of us, or, you know, they want to talk to a reference. And then we gently remind them the reason why we're talking. And then, you know, they'll think back, you know, anywhere from 2 to 6 weeks over the course of the sales process. And they'll say, that's right. The reason why we're talking is because, you know, you use your stuff to reach out to me. And that, I can't tell you how validating that is and how reassuring it is for our customers, because they've actually seen it work.
Well, that's excellent. Now, are there particular things that you use to train? You got three people calling, right? The particular things that you want them to do when they get on the phone with somebody?
In terms of the things that we want them to say?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. You know, we want them to, you know, I was listening to the commercial over the interim, and, you know, we certainly want them to, as much as we can, you know, in the inside sales environment and the quick sales that we're doing, you know, we want them to be as consultative as possible. You know, so you know, we want them to be prepared, right? So that means that they have already looked at, you know, our internal CRM and used our stuff to prepare themselves, not only with the, you know, the information that's on the site, but through Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter, right? So we make sure that they're prepared. You know, we make sure they understand the individual, sort of a little acronym we use is TIC, right? We understand the person, we understand the industry, we understand the company, we understand the title, right? So if they understand the person using our information, they understand the industry a little bit, some of the pains and challenges we can speak to, the company, are there anything, you know, any sales triggers that we know that we can link ourselves to, you know, that company, and then the title, you know, what are the general pains that that title has, you know, we'll go through a little diagnosis, you know, in the first 5 to 10 minutes, if we you know, earn the credibility to do so and try to sell our solution around those certain pains. But luckily, you know, we have the credibility because, you know, if we've got past the proof of concept stage, meaning that they've already went directly to our site, they've registered, they've seen some of the power of the solution, and now, you know, we're actually picking up the phone and calling them and talking to them, you know, we usually have the credibility to get, you know, 15, 20, 25 minutes to ask these questions and link our solution to some of those pains.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And now, how do you go about managing your team of people?
how do I go about managing my team of people? Well, we're metrics. We try to be metrics driven, right? I mean, that's number one. You know, we hold our. You know, there's a lot of newness to what we're doing, and so, you know, I have worked in some very established industries where metrics were king, but what we're doing now is that there's a lot of moving parts, and what might be right for one product and what message might be right for one product might not be right for messaging for another product, and what might be a good industry for one might not be another. So, you know, I'm trying to stay cognizant of that, right? That, you know, we're all learning at the same time. But I guess generally speaking, you know, I like to manage the metrics, right? I mean, I like to see a certain amount of, leads come out of a specific campaign. I like to see a number of those leads converted to opportunities. I like to see a number of those opportunities converted to sales. I like those sales to reach a certain dollar amount. And that way we keep everybody really focused on the end goal, which is the revenue that, you know, we're committed to making for our investors.
Okay. Now, when goals get set, who sets those goals for the salespeople?
Well, it's my responsibility working with our CEO, right, to set those goals. And it's around, you know, the commitments that we have to make to those that have lent us money, right? So that's where the process comes from.
Okay. So then you tell your salespeople, here's the goals that you have, go get them.
Well, I mean, there's the goals that we have, and then we put, you know, based on, you know, our historical evidence, you know, we'll put together the proper amount of, you know, like I said, we use our stuff, right? So we know what we need to generate out of our stuff to reach those goals if the historical metrics hold true. And so we just don't, you know, send them out the door with a gun and a in a compass, right?
Oh,
we
yeah,
harm
yeah,
them a little
sure,
bit more.
Sure. And it's you know, and how often do you meet with your people?
Well, I have a couple in the office, and I have a couple that are virtual. So, but I talk to them. I imagine they would say too much, but certainly every day.
Now, do you sell too?
I usually am on the phone with most late stage opportunities. You know, I am trying to get away from that, but you know, it turns out that it's pretty effective. So I don't want to run away from anything that's effective right now.
Good. Well, this has been really wonderful. I really appreciate you taking the time to help us.
What seems to me
to be a whole new niche for the industry. Do you have competitors that you would consider competition?
I would imagine that we do. We have, you know, four pretty distinct products, right? And every one of those products, you know, would have a competitor. But I mean, there's not one company I think that does all four. Which is a good thing and a bad thing, right? I mean, if there's a competitor, that means there's an anchor, which is not necessarily a bad thing. But, you know, as they say, if there's the blue ocean for us to sail, then that's also helpful as well.
Mm-hmm. What do you see the future for Social 123? Are you adding more pieces to it, or is this pretty much what it's going to be?
I see us moving our solution, especially the Data Plus piece where we do the data enhancement to a static database. I see us working more and more with partners over and above, you know, having a standalone software as a service solution. And what I mean by that is, you know, our solution is embedded back in via API to other CRMs, other marketing automation tools, other social media management tools. I mean, we already have some customers where that's the case, but, you know, I spend a lot of my time just talking to, you know, other software providers that have the static database and they want their data socially enabled. And we work very, very well with partners to do that. So I see that happening. We're getting an app up on the Salesforce App Exchange for the Data Plus piece. I see us adding social leads to that very soon as well. I'd say that's probably enough for the foreseeable future.
Right. So now, how well are you integrated with Salesforce.com right now?
Well, we're not on the App Exchange as we speak here. You know, what is it, the 18th? But that's should be just a momentary issue. You know, we are in the final stages of their approval process. Uh-huh. And so the beauty of what this solution will do, if you can imagine, instead of having to export your information out of Salesforce and then import it back into Salesforce with the source-enabled data, is that it's just it's part of the Salesforce.com app exchange, and you just flip the switch and you get these additional fields. And uh-huh. one of the ways that we're going to market differently than perhaps other companies that do some social data enhancement is that we're going to provide the information directly into Salesforce.com as opposed to being in the window. You know, that's sort of annoying. You see that I have all of this information about this contact, and while that is helpful in terms of sales effectiveness, in terms of sales enablement, as I mentioned before, to prepare for a call, it doesn't necessarily help me in aggregate, because if it's just a window inside, then I don't get to see in mass who worked at what company, or in mass who graduated from what school, or in mass who has what specialty or what location, right? And those are the types of tools that sales and marketers need to have more effective campaigns.
Good. Well, all right. Well, I mean, that's really exciting to start plugging into Salesforce. Now, like with all Salesforce apps, it seems to me those are really sold by either Salesforce administrators in the companies that are using it being aware of them, or the mm-hmm. integrators suggesting that they incorporate that into their instance of Salesforce. Would that be true?
Through my experience, I mean, that is certainly a way to do that. However, just like anything else, I mean, if you want to sell a solution, you solve a pain, right? And Salesforce.com administrators' pain isn't socially enabled data, right? I mean, those are sales and marketers' pains. So uh-huh. we have to go directly to the source.
So really, it has to do with the marketer or the sales administrators raising the question, rather yeah. than the. I guess that would be an IT function then, huh? The Salesforce yeah. administrator.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I mean, maybe that works, but I mean, that's, you know, I in a previous company, the sales consulting company I worked at before, we had three apps on the App Exchange, and, you know, I spent a lot of calories trying to sell directly to sales enablement, or Salesforce.com enablement companies and consultants and administrators, and I couldn't get any traction with that. You know, the only traction I would get is the people that own the problem.
mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Well, that's interesting. Well, this has been wonderful. Is there anything that you'd like to say to folks?
Well, I mean, I certainly appreciate the time. It's being in a young company like Social 123. I mean, we're getting pulled in many different directions, but you know, to take the time out. Well, and for you to give me an hour to speak about my company, you know, I certainly appreciate that. And, you know, you're doing a great service. I certainly appreciate the opportunity to speak about myself and Social 123 and what we can do to help our customers and maybe your listeners.
Well, this is wonderful. Well, I really appreciate the time, spending the time with you, Scott. This is very good. And tell Bo, give him an attaboy for being a very good, top-notch salesperson.
Well, you know what? He might even get a raise. It all depends on what you buy from us. We'll see what he gets.
We all clap for him, huh?
There you go. Thank you.
Super. All right. Well, you take care.
All right. Thank you. You too.
There you have another company coming out, getting out front with a whole new area, this upper level of aggregating information. Now, we've had things like Hootsuite and Manage. Outgoing information and also to track what's going on, but to be able to identify information associated with people following me, that was a real surprise when I found that, and I find that to be very valuable. I encourage you to go up and take a look at Social 123. If you've got any followers at all, go up and look at Social 123 and see what it can do for you. What would it mean if you knew the email addresses for the people following you, or you could see in an aggregated fashion, in an Excel spreadsheet, you could see the self-descriptions that people have. You could see where they are, see what time zone they're in, see what kinds of things they are saying. What if you were able to dip in to keywords on a regular basis and find out what's going on out there. Very interesting. I think this is an area very quickly, this whole notion of the second level of social media, aggregating and then slicing and dicing information, incorporating that into things like Salesforce and other CRMs, being able to use that so that we can better address the issues and the people that we are attempting to speak to. Well, there you have it. Wonderful to be with you today. This is the Pilgrim on the 405, wishing you a great rest of the week. We'll look forward to talking with you again next week. If you want to see more about more of what we have said, it's archived on octalkradio.net. It's also on iTunes under Pilgrim on the 405. You can download it to your smartphone or your iPhone and listen. And if you have some ideas about people who would find this valuable, helpful to talk about, let me know at willcrist@willcrist.com, W-I-L-L-C-R-I-S-T @willcrist.com. You can call me at 949-355-6013. One more thing, just picking up, I'm going to keep beating the drum on something we talked about last week, which is crowdfunding. Ruth Hedges and I have been talking about her project, and she's on a mission to have 1 million people ready to go into the crowdfunding program for equity funding come January the 1st. So I'm available to speak. We certainly have her available to speak. We're putting together a series of webinars. And if you'd like to have more information, go to crowdfundingroadmap.com. There's going to be a workshop, a several-day workshop in Las Vegas with some experts on crowdfunding in October. Very inexpensive conference. I think it's $250. I could be wrong, but I think it's $250. So there you have it on this wonderful day in Laguna Beach from the Pilgrim on the 405. Make it a great day. Take care.
You've been listening to the only show that takes you where others won't. Out into the wilderness, past the frontiers of what you thought was possible, with your own personal guide, the Pilgrim, on the 405.